I had lunch at Hooters with Bubba the Love Sponge, which is like having, you know, lunch in Manhattan with Donald Trump. Same, in fact, very close. Bubba the Love Sponge, Hooters, Florida, pretty much the same thing. But you have to understand, if you work at Hooters in Florida, you wear more clothes to go to work. to work at Hooters in Florida, you're putting on clothes to go to work. At the High Point at the Fort Lauderdale Beach, where the sidewalk goes up a little and you have the best view of the beach, there's a Hooters. There's nothing more epic in South Florida than to eat at Hooters on the Fort Lauderdale Beach. But I did one better. Bubba the Love Sponge said, you know what? I'm going to get something for you, Walter, that will make you even more impressive than you already are. Now, let's face it. I was, like, pretty impressive with the Hooters women. And I certainly tipped generously, as this Hooters waitress will explain. I mean, imagine, she's getting $800-900 in tips a night at Hooters. But what Bubba got me was gold, absolute gold in South Florida, and I will share that with you in just seconds. This is Sterling All Night. You have all helped build MyPillow into the remarkable company that it is today. Look at the success that it is. The owner, Mike, has an amazing offer for you, for my listeners, just for my listeners. Right now, his standard MyPillow is so deep discounted, I'm really not sure how this happened. You will receive a standard MyPillow, regularly $69.98. Now it's only $19.98. It's usually $69.98. Now it's only $19.98. You will also receive deep discounts on all MyPillow products, such as MyPillow towels. Have you tried those towels? MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow slippers, which are the best gift you could ever give. The MyPillow slippers come in a wide range of colors, beautiful, tasteful colors, and it's magic when you step into them. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square. It's on the homepage, right in the middle. You'll receive Mike's standard MyPillow for just $19.98, or call 800-844-0876, 800-844-0876, and use the promo code Walter. MyPillow is made in the USA. It comes with a 10-year warranty, which means that you don't have to worry about it. It's going to last, and a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. It's time to start getting the quality sleep that you not only want, but you actually need. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-844-0876, 800-844-0876. Whether you call them or you go online, you put in the promo code Walter, and that way we both get credit. You get deep discounting on all MyPillow products, but especially on the pillow. The pillow goes from $69.98 down to $19.98 for the premium MyPillow pillow. And then I get credit for sharing this information with you. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the center square, look at the radio offers, put in my name, Walter, and you'll see the prices drop instantly. You don't have to wait for, you know, a check in the mail or a coupon or none of that. It drops even before you get to the cart. Go to MyPillow.com. Check the center square. Order the pillow. Enjoy a great night's sleep.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Neil Rogers.
And the right against the left, and the left against the right, and who's got the better haircut? The same old, tried and true, tired, monotonous crap that doesn't change anything, and the median age of your audience is death.
All right, Walter M. Sterling driving across Route 80 on this beautiful, chilly autumn night throughout North America. Welcome to Sterling All Night. This show is live. There's nothing else live at this time. Nothing. Because radio stations are embarrassed to invest one penny in broadcasting at this time. Instead, believe it or not, some of these stations air shows that are 20 years old, and the hosts have been dead for 20 years. The embarrassment and shame that they must feel is incredible, but not as embarrassing the shame that they must feel when they hear that Walter M. Sterling is revealing the secrets of tipping in a Hooters. This is a Hooters waitress. Do we say girl? Can I say girl? Is that all right? A Hooters girl. This is what she reveals about the tips that she got this week.
Okay, I haven't made one of these videos in a little while, but this is how much I make in a week at Hooters. This is a really good week to show because I had some really great shifts and then some not so hot shifts. But Sunday morning, I bartended. I worked 10:30 to 5:30, and I made $408. Monday, I worked a double. So from 10:30 to about 5:30, I made $300. But then from 5:30 to midnight, I made $50. Tuesday morning, I worked 10:30 to 4:30 again, and I made about $190. Wednesday morning, I worked 10:30 to 2:30, and I made $50. Friday morning, I shopped for the Hooters calendar, so I got our promotional pay of $10 an hour, so I made about $50 then. And then today, I just worked 10:30 to 5:30, and made $260. A guy at the bar just handed me $60 for talking to him today, which is really nice. Yeah, that's my tips on top of my $2.13 I get an hour.
Imagine, they only get $2.13 an hour, but oh gee, they'll pull an average of $150 a shift in tips. One of the things that you have noticed, if you ever visited a Hooters, if you ever spent time in a Hooters, that every guy notices, is there are levels of Hooters waitresses. There are Hooters waitresses that are probably really good waitresses, and they're very attractive, but not special. There's always one special Hooters waitress on every shift, one. However, what I always noticed is she didn't come to my table. She wasn't near me. Instead, she hung out with the manager and his friends. In fact, I've never seen a Hooters where the manager was a woman. It's always a manager and his friends, and she hangs out, the special waitress hangs out with him and his friends. And she won't move. She stays at that table. She stays with him the whole time. That's the deal. Seems a little unfair to me. I also have never found out the key to impressing a Hooters waitress. Now, again, I have to stress that this was not a full-time job. I didn't spend all of my time in Hooters trying to impress a Hooters waitress. But I did spend enough time. And I lived in Florida. Therefore, it was considered a sport. Impressing a woman at Hooters was considered a sport. There was nothing wrong with it. It was part of the culture. And people who worked at Hooters dressed up to go to work at Hooters. In the rest of the country, they probably took off a few pieces of clothes to go to work at Hooters. But in Florida, they actually had to put on some actual clothes in order to go to work. It was a very different culture in South Florida. But to me, the height of the culture of South Florida, the very epicenter of everything that you care about if you live in South Florida, was the Hooters on Fort Lauderdale Beach. It was up higher than the rest of the boardwalk. It was beautiful and immaculate. The best view of the ocean, the best view of the beach. And you're just sitting there like, I can't believe I've escaped New Jersey and I've gotten to a Hooters on Fort Lauderdale Beach. I can't believe that I have arrived to this degree. Bubba the Love Sponge is a big radio personality in South Florida. And We're friends. I like him. I respect him. I think he's a transcendent talent. When he's doing it, there's nobody that comes close to being as good as he is. He said, I'll get you something. I'll get you something that you'll like. I'll get you something that you'll like. We go to Hooters. He said, next time you're here, I'll get it for you. So we go to Hooters. The manager comes over and he hands me a Hooters VIP card. A Hooters VIP card. I have no idea what it does for me. I have no idea what the symbolism is. But let me tell you, having that made me feel in South Florida, it gave me a sense of being royalty.
Okay, I haven't made one of these videos in a little while, but this is how much I make in a week at Hooters. This is a really good week to show because I had some really great shifts and then some not so hot shifts. But Sunday morning, I bartended. I worked 10:30 to 5:30, and I made $408. Monday, I worked a double. So from 10:30 to about 5:30, I made $300. But then from 5:30 to midnight, I made $50. Tuesday morning, I worked 10:30 to 4:30 again, and I made about $190. Wednesday morning, I worked 10:30 to 2:30, and I made $50. Friday morning, I shopped for the Hooters calendar, so I got our promotional pay of $10 an hour, so I made about $50 then. And then today, I just worked 10:30 to 5:30, and I made $260. A guy at the bar just handed me $60 for talking to him today, which is really nice. Yeah, that's my tips on top of my $2.13 I get an hour.
However, in my opinion, there is nothing on the Hooters menu that tastes good. My opinion, none of the food is good at all. They always talk about, well, the wings, you know, those wings, the wings, you know, the wings. No, I don't know. I never ate wings anyway. I never would eat wings at a good wings place, but I never found the Hooters wings. No, the Hooters wings are great. They're terrific. No, I never found them to be terrific. I never found any wings anywhere to be terrific. Never understood the deal with wings. There's been a lot of food scandal lately. Then Chick-fil-A. I'm doing nothing on like Thursday, Wednesday. I'm in a drive-through line and I go, oh, there's the Chick-fil-A over there. Let me go try the Chick-fil-A one more time. Let me see if it's different this time. Now, I like Chicken McNuggets from McDonald's. I don't see anything wrong with them. But I've been told unceasingly, nonstop, that the Chick-fil-A chicken is the best in the world. It's unbelievable. It'll take you to the fourth dimension of food. I'm like, I don't know. Let's see. I get in line. It's always a long line at Chick-fil-A. It's never a long line on Sundays, but it's always a long line the rest of the week. I get in the long line, and now I get my box of Chick-fil-A chicken. And I take one bite, and I'm like, in my opinion, this is horrible. Now, I didn't say it wasn't fresh. It was fresh. It was fine. It was as good as you're going to get chicken in a drive-thru, but it was terrible. To me, it was terrible. I didn't find it to be good at all. The cottage fries, whoa. The cottage fries are great. But the Chick-fil-A chicken, I don't get it. I don't understand what all the excitement about is about. My number is 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. If you want to wrestle with me over the Chick-fil-A chicken, that would be fine. If you want to wrestle with me about how to impress a Hooters waitress, that would be the sort of thing that will get us ratings. There's no problem in getting us ratings. You want to, with Mike Doucette, you want to get ratings? Great. Fantastic. There's Rosemary Furlong. Rosemary Furlong. How are you, Rosemary? And Neil Paul and Judy Anderson, welcome to Sterling at Night. Is this the best radio show? And Billy Datz and his gorgeous family, his ridiculously handsome family. What are you guys going to be for Halloween in Pittman, New Jersey? Welcome. Well, then there was scandal. There was a lawsuit filed today for $5 million against Kellogg's over their Pop-Tarts. Their claims, they say, that the strawberry filling is real strawberry, or a lot of it's real strawberry and it tastes like real strawberry. Turns out that's, in somebody's opinion, that's not true. It turns out that much of that filling is peach and other fruit derivatives, but the majority of it is not strawberry. The strawberry toast and pop tarts, the strawberry pop tarts are not mostly strawberry. I don't know how we're going to live with this. How are we going to get through to the next thing? How is our culture going to move on past trouble with the strawberry Pop-Tarts? I don't know. But that is the food scandal. I've laid out a buffet of opinions that should cause trouble. I don't like Chick-fil-A. I just don't like Chick-fil-A. And strawberry Pop-Tarts may not be as advertised, and therefore a lawsuit. Wow. Wow. So we'll talk about that. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling at Night. We have a lot of show to get to at 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. Sterling all night.
Sterling on Sunday.
Sunday is treat day.
Sterling all-night weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. There's a tornado watch up for Illinois, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. And that's in effect as we speak tonight. And that's going to go through Tuesday morning as the storm system develops and moves eastward, producing rainfall amounts of 2 to 3 inches in Chicago, New York, and Boston, and 1 to 2 inches in Syracuse, all the way through Cleveland. The big story is going to be the possibility of damaging winds and even tornadic activity. The damaging winds and possible tornadoes will form tonight in Missouri, affecting Kansas City, sliding east to Springfield and St. Louis, before affecting Charleston, Roanoke, and Raleigh into Norfolk, Washington, and Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, down into East Texas through the Arklatex region by tomorrow into tomorrow night. The balance of the week, though, looks for much better weather as we head towards next weekend. Dallas, you're up to 87 on Wednesday. Washington, D.C., 70s midweek, 60s by Friday. And Fairbanks, Alaska, a chance of snow through midweek with lows in the teens and afternoon highs in the 20s. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling All Night. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling All Night.
Attention, those of you who want a career in radio. Did you hear Dr. Dave say, in the 30s? Did you hear how he said that? That's what a real radio announcer sounds like. In the 30s. In the 30s. Very good, Dr. Dave. Very good, Dr. Dave. There is our buddy Judy. Now, Judy in Dallas, who found us on WBAP in Dallas, a Cumulus radio station, she found us in Dallas, and she said, you know, they need some of my jokes. She tells the worst jokes you've ever heard, bad dad jokes. Judy, welcome to Sterling at Night. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Walter.
Hi. Do you have a bad joke for us?
What do you do if attacked by a group of clowns?
What do you do if attacked by a group of clowns?
Go for the juggler.
The great Sitting on Stacy. And now Kevin in South St. Louis. Welcome to Sterling at Night. Hello, Kevin.
Hi, Sterling. Hi, hey, Sterling. Buddy. My name's Kevin. I'm an aerospace engineer at Boeing, and I'm listening to KMOX almost every day. I like your show so far. I'm new to listening to it. But I just wanted to ask, you know, you said you didn't like chicken wings. That really caught me off guard. You said you don't like Chick-fil-A. Well, I was one of the first 100 customers at the Chippewa Chick-fil-A here in South St. Louis, and I have a shirt that I'm wearing that says Chick-fil-A on it. So caught me off guard again. So my question for you, sir, is what do you like?
1P or 2?
Sorry, I couldn't hear you.
1P or 2, Chippewa?
Chippewa in St. Louis, the Chick-fil-A there.
Yeah, is it 1P or 2?
I don't understand the question.
How do you spell it?
Oh, Chippewa. I don't know. It's got P's in it. It's C-H-I-P-P-E-W-A or something like that. I should know it, but...
As a flight engineer, I would think so. Now, I have some NASA questions for you. Can I ask you some NASA questions?
I work for Boeing, but sure.
All right, you work for Boeing. We had on Stephanie Osborne, who was a payload expert for NASA. She helped decide how much could go on the space station. She's been on our show a couple times. Therefore, I asked her the only question that anybody actually cares about with the space station, the only question. And I asked her, has there ever been sex in space? Has there ever been sex in the space station? Are you wrestling with something in your home? What's going on in your house? What's all that?
I'm just cooking some spaghetti, sir. Sorry.
No, that's
all right.
Okay.
I'll step in the other room.
Yeah. Now, are you a good cook or are you single? Oh my God! It's a whole Foley demonstration, up the stairs and in the. Yes. Now, are you single?
I am a good cook and single. Recently single, yes, sir.
Recently single, fantastic. Now, I asked her, has there ever been sex in space? What would you guess the answer was?
Absolutely not.
Well, as it turns out, she says there has been. Because at one point there was a married couple on that space station. And there's a part of the space station where there's no camera and no microphone. How cool is that?
That is really cool. I'm jealous that this person did that.
Stephanie,
and I haven't done that.
She is an expert. Now, the next thing is, how did you feel about Captain Kirk going into space?
My mom remembers my reaction to it. I was like, my reaction was WTF. Why are they doing that? It's they're going into space, but they're just shooting up to the atmosphere and then falling back down. It's like, why? You know, I've got a friend who works on the rocket that goes up there, and I just don't get the concept. It's a huge waste of money. I'm not a space guy. I'm a military guy. I'm not in the military, but I work on military platforms, and that's my interest. So I don't actually like any space stuff, but Boeing's heavily involved in space stuff, but I don't personally, I don't have any appreciation for space anything.
When will there be fewer seats on a Boeing passenger jet?
Never, because they're going to pack in like sardines in a can, and they're going to continue to do that because, you know, it's a business.
I will tell you a shocking thing. You won't even believe it. In the late 1970s, early 1980s, there were a series of American Airlines campaigns on television, and the television commercial was showing workmen going to the seats in the airplanes in the 767s and throwing seats onto the runway to make more room. The pitch was there's more room now on American Airlines planes than ever before. And you saw one seat after another being thrown out of the plane. It was the greatest campaign ever for a commercial airline.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is. And now let me explain to you, Kevin, why Captain Kirk going into space is so important and was so significant. As silly as it may seem, as cosmetic as it may seem. This will really sound silly. Baby boomers needed him to go into space. They needed him to complete the cycle of life and to make it real. And then baby boomers could go on and promote, propel, and support the real space program once the captain had actually gone into space.
Yeah, I should have known that it's important to baby boomers. I've worked in some of the same facilities that Neil Armstrong was in. So I was working with a technician that showed me some pictures on one of the PCs that had a picture of Neil Armstrong next to a temperature altitude chamber that I was standing in front of. And I forgot that that's what put food on the table for a lot of baby boomers. So I do step back a little bit on dogging on space. I just personally, I think military stuff is cooler than space stuff. But
well,
yeah,
then what do you,
really,
how do you,
didn't really think
how do you
like
feel
that.
About, I'm sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just finishing what I was saying. You can go ahead. Sorry.
Then how do you feel about President Trump's Space Force?
It's probably a necessary evil. I feel like anything Trump says, people are going to kind of, you know, make fun of it anyways. You know, he came from Hollywood, so, or, you know, NBC, The Apprentice. So, you know, I think I don't take Trump seriously. A lot of people don't. He's not a very serious person. So, you know, when he does something, like somebody else could have done the same thing. It's like when a girl's kind of done with you, right? No, nothing you say or do is going to fix the relationship or whatever. So, you know, you could say something and she might be like, oh, that's really stupid. And then somebody else says something, the exact same thing. And she's like, oh, what a great idea. You know? So I think it's a similar situation to Trump with the Space Force. But, you know, in reality, the whole reason we got into space in the first place, you know, if you remember, Sputnik, you know, the reason we got into space in the first place was because there's potential to drop a nuclear warhead from a satellite. So Sputnik was taking pictures of the United States before we could even get a functional rocket off the ground. So,
which leads me to my next question, which was that horrendous event that took place last week with the hyperbolic or whatever it was bomb that China detonated and demonstrated. How did you feel about that?
I'm going to be real honest with you. I don't even know what you're talking about, so maybe I've been living under a rock. I just moved to South City from Chesterfield, so I haven't been following the news at all. But you said it was a hydrogen bomb?
No, it was a hypersonic bomb.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a sound-based bomb that does its destruction via sound. And Kevin, thank you very much for calling Sterling at Night. Great caller. I appreciate it. Call anytime. I wish everybody was like you. In fact, I wish people were more like us. It's 46 past the hour. This is Sterling at Night.
A Florida man gets murdered in a dispute over a cat, and some guy gets the crap kicked out of him after a road rage incident. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part one of Florida Stories.
This is Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. I have a warning about buying a certain type of guppies online. Later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Long John Neville.
It contains a circus act by the name of the Flying Fools.
All right, it's 51 past the hour. As you and I are driving across the country, Route 80, up and down I-5 in California, and, of course, on Route 71, otherwise known as the Luge in New England, and there's WLOB in Maine, Lobster Radio. We have to get a recording of what Lobster Radio sounds like, James. We need to hear the owner of Lobster Radio explain things to us, and then we need to get samples from Lobster Radio, either in the form of chowder or in chunks. I really don't care. I'm Walter M. Sterling. You and I can stay in touch at all times. Send me a note to waltermsterling@gmail.com, waltermsterling@gmail.com. Every email I get gets answered. And then I have a podcast because, you know, by federal law, all talk show hosts must have podcasts. The name of it is Midnight Misfits, available at Apple, iTunes, and wherever you get your quality podcasts. They're available wherever you get them. It's stupid. But wherever you get them, my gosh, it's true. Well, Alec Baldwin is having a bad night. I don't wish this on anyone, do you? Alec Baldwin was on the set of a movie called Rust. Sign of trouble right there. He picks up a prop gun and he shoots the camera woman. He shoots the woman who's shooting the movie. And he also shot the director, except he killed the camera woman, who was, by the way, beautiful and beloved and had a gorgeous 9-year-old son. I don't wish this on anyone, but he picked up a prop gun. Now, how could this have gone wrong? Well, it says that if a bullet had been left in it before, not a live round, but a prop bullet, was left in the barrel and didn't fully fire, then you put in another bullet and then you shoot it, it propels them both at a faster velocity than if just one was in there. And he did the one thing that you tell your 9-year-old to not do. You tell your 6-year-old to not do. You never point the gun at somebody. It doesn't matter if it's a toy gun. It doesn't matter what kind of gun it is. You never point a gun at anybody, ever, never. And it turns out that it was a chaotic set. What, craft services was down? What do you mean it was a chaotic set? It was a chaotic set. Everybody was very upset. They didn't like the prop master. The prop master was in there, was new. The old prop master was not liked. Here's how it should go. There should be no guns on any set. There should be no guns at all. It's baloney. And when you hear that Alec Baldwin, a brilliant actor, a great guy, picked up a gun and shot somebody and killed them on the set of a movie, all of it's pretend. Everything there is pretend. At some point, you have to sit back and go, there's something wrong here. This is not how we're to behave. If the mass shootings in the cafeterias of our public schools across the country isn't enough to get anybody's attention, I don't know what should. I can't support this. I don't think it's the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment was designed for us to protect ourselves from the government. Read it. It was to make sure that the government could not seize us. It was to protect us from the government. You want to go hunting for deer, that's one thing. But this is horrendous. This poor, beautiful woman was killed instantly by a prop gun because the prop gun was loaded wrong, probably, was certainly being handled wrong. And Alec broke the first rule, which is you don't point a gun of any type at anybody. It's a tragedy all the way around, but this is... There's going to be a lot of splaining to do. I feel sorry for her family. I feel sorry for her beautiful 9-year-old son. She's got a gorgeous 9-year-old son. And his life's ruined forever. He lost his mommy today. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. Coming up in moments, I'm going to talk to you about a company that has done something that I predicted they would do. When the pandemic started, I said, what's going to happen is the paradigm will shift and everything we think about going to work and behaving at work is going to change. When you and I don't go into an office building for months and months and months, at some point it's going to occur to us that I don't really need to go into an office building. It isn't 1890. I don't have to be on the factory floor being watched by the man. I don't have to be watched every second. In fact, it seems I'm doing better work when I'm not near the HR person. I'm doing better work when I'm not being watched by the man. Isn't that amazing? Well, one company decided to do something about that in a very meaningful and admirable way, and I'll talk with you about that. What else have I got for you? I have Vic Ferrari, who's a real New York City police detective, a retired New York City police detective, who has an actual cop story for you. He's the best. He's got these great cop stories, not one of those stupid podcast true crime stories, you know, at the Green River in Atlanta. Stupid. And... And then another Florida story coming up for you. And Velo Hool will reveal his fishing news. I'm Walter M. Sterling at 888-688-WALT. Sterling all night.
Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Sterling all night weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. The big story in weather tonight is a dangerous, high-impact weather system bringing widespread heavy precipitation to the Pacific Northwest, including Northern and Central California, tonight and tomorrow, including an atmospheric river, which is just like the big Mississippi River up in the atmosphere. And this will lead to flooding and landslides, especially in the recent burn-scarred areas from the wildfires over the last several months. There's already been some road closures tonight up in Northern California. I'm especially appealing to my friends in the Sacramento area, as that's where a lot of the burn areas are neighboring. This low pressure system will also produce snows of up to 3 feet in the Sierra Nevada mountains of California, the Washington Cascades, and the northern and central Rockies as this system moves east tomorrow and Tuesday. The good news is the very beneficial heavy rains and snows to heavy drought areas, of course. 3 to 5 inches of rain is possible in Sacramento, Santa Rosa, San Francisco, 2 to 3 inches in Portland and Seattle, and even a half an inch all the way down in Los Angeles. Another storm system is taking shape tonight in the Midwest, and that's going to affect the Plain States and Mid-Atlantic states. All about that in my next report. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling All Night. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling All Night.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. For our first Florida story, we're going to Marion County, Florida, where there's the classic dispute between neighbors, but this time it's over a cat. One guy has a cat, and the cat goes outside, and it'll jump over the fence, and it'll get in the neighbor's yard, and sometimes it poops, pees, does whatever. But the neighbor doesn't like having the cat in his yard. So one day he confronts his neighbor. Hey, tell your cat to stay out of my yard. He says, I can't control where the cat goes. It's a cat. And he says, listen, if you do not control your cat, I am going to, so you see this gun? I am going to shoot your cat. He says, you are going to do no such thing over my dead body. And in proper Florida fashion, the neighbor shoots him. I'm not sure if that's going to keep the cat out of his yard, but he is facing second-degree homicide charges. James, don't you think that's a little over the top for a Florida man to shoot his neighbor because the cat keeps getting in his yard? That's the point of Florida stories. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we're going to Palm Coast, where a 22-year-old Florida man is rolling down Belvedere Lane. Some SOB cuts him off. It's a 53-year-old Florida man. So they do that thing where two angry guys take turns cutting each other off, and 22-year-old Florida man cuts off 53-year-old Florida man, and the 53-year-old Florida man speeds past him and cuts him off again. Then they end up at a gas station. And we have a he said Florida man scenario here. 53-year-old Florida man says the 22-year-old Florida man ran at him and tackled him Brian Urlacher style, slammed him up against the car, and then when they went to the ground, he did the ground and pound and beat the crap out of him. 22-year-old Florida man says the 53-year-old Florida man threw hot coffee in his face, and then in self-defense, he might have punched him a bunch of times after he knocked him to the ground. I don't know if there is a lesson here. I just know if you're in Florida and someone cuts you off, let it slide. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
Stay tuned. Today's second installment of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Florida Stories is a Spring Rock production, springrockmedia@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at James Parker Show. For Sterling on Sundays, I am James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is a live radio show. There are no other live radio shows on the air at this time. I'm it. And that means you're it. And we can talk to each other. My number is 888-688-WALT. 888-688-9258. Let's see. Bill, welcome to Sterling at Night. Hi.
Hi. I thought I'd give you a little bit of help. Hypersonic missile travels really, really fast, in excess of 5 times the speed of sound. The particular one that China demoed last week traveled about 25 times the speed of sound, which is about 10,000 miles an hour faster than the space station. The problem is it was less than 100 miles in the air. It was probably only about 25 miles in the air, which means it's really hard to catch on radar until it's almost right overhead, because the curvature of the Earth, straight line of sight for radar, doesn't follow the curve of the Earth. So that's what makes it such a tragedy, that they have something that can travel in the nearly in the atmosphere at a very, very high speed. You have maybe 2 or 3 minutes warning that, oh, here comes something very fast that's going to take out a city. It has nothing to do with the sound or how fast it hits. It can carry a nuclear bomb. That's what it uses for a warhead. It could have a 1,000-pound warhead on it, but more likely it would have a nuclear bomb, and you know, a city could disappear within 3 minutes of you having the missile on radar. That's why it's scary.
Bill, why do you think they did it?
There's a technology demonstration, because they're no longer afraid of us. And they've pretty much got the technology from us about 20 years ago. Chances are some administration somewhere thought it was a great idea that we couldn't figure out the material to be able to take the extremely high temperatures of air friction on the vehicle. So they say, let's have a Chinese company figure it out for us. They won't know what they're doing. They're a little smarter than that now.
Bill, so they shared a disease with us. Now they're sharing semi-nuclear technology with us. It's quite a display that the Chinese are performing. You know what else I don't understand about the Chinese is, of 2 or 3 times a year, we see their parliamentary or legislative hall, where there are hundreds of seats of representatives from all over the country, and they're sitting in this magnificent legislative hall, except that one guy, the guy sitting at front, makes all the decisions. They all vote, but they all vote whatever that guy said, and then they go home. I'm like, what's the point? Why do they even bother to have these Communist Party meetings?
For show. Well, look, it's the voice of the people. They gotta remember, it's called the People's Republic of China, except the people have no say. It's the government's Republic of China. Party's Republic of China.
It is terrifying. Bill, thank you very much for listening to Sterling at Night. I do appreciate it. My phone number is 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. This is Sterling at Night. You have helped MyPillow become an amazing company. It's remarkable how successful it is. The owner, Mike, has a stunning offer for my listeners, the Midnight Misfits, on the standard MyPillow. You will receive a standard MyPillow, regularly $69.98. Now it's only $19.98. You will also receive deep discounts on all MyPillow products, such as the MyPillow towels, the MyPillow topper, The slippers are amazing. But the thing about the slippers, which you won't believe until you see it, the color range of the slippers is beautiful. These are tasteful, muted slippers that will go with anything. Believe me, no matter who you give them to, they will be very happy with the slippers. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square to receive Mike's standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Now, if you don't want to use the computer, maybe you don't want anyone seeing that you're ordering this for as a gift for them, then call 800-844-0876, 844-0876, and use the promo code Walter. Whether you go online to MyPillow.com or you call 800-844-0876, use the promo code Walter. MyPillow is made in the USA. It is made by USA people. It comes with a 10-year warranty to you, so you know that it's going to last, and a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you know that you have nothing to lose. You have nothing to lose. You order this, it doesn't work out, in 60 days you send it back. It's time to start getting the quality sleep we not only want, but need. We want that sleep, and we need that sleep. You get it with the MyPillow pillow. Call 800-844-0876, 800-844-0876. Use the promo code Walter. The MyPillow pillow holds its shape. It stays cool all night. You can throw it in the washer whenever you want. It comes out smelling fresh and wonderful. It doesn't get all yucky. The MyPillow pillow is a remarkably engineered pillow designed to help you sleep. You can get it at MyPillow.com or by calling, ready, 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. Use the promo code Walter.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Al Bundy.
I feel better after I have a nice cup of coffee.
Electric vehicles like Teslas are just amazing marvels of modern technology, unless they fall through your attic and kill you while you're watching TV. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part two of Florida Stories.
All right, it's 18 past the hour. This is Sterling on Sunday. Are you having a good time? Is this the kind of radio show that you've always demanded? I thought so. My phone number is 800. No, it's not. What's wrong with you, Walter? 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. You have to smooth it out, Walter. I used to say the correct number, which was 888-688-WALT. But then a couple people who have trouble seeing things, they said, it's hard for us to call you if you say Walt. Just say the whole number. And, of course, that made perfect sense. Now, what was I going to talk to you about? I'm sure it was something profound and important. Yes, this. Listen to this. I have said since the beginning of the pandemic that at the end of the pandemic, people who have been out of the office buildings for months or years, in this case, it turned out to be like 18 months, will not want to go back. It's not because they don't like to do the work. They like to do the work. In fact, they may have found out that by doing the work at home, they like it more. They don't want to go into an office. They don't want to go to work because there's the politics, the parking, the trouble getting lunch, the trouble getting out of there. You know, a lot of these office parks around the country are miserable places to work because there's nothing around, or some really crappy cafeteria restaurant in the other building. It's never in your building. It's in the other building. Never your building, right? Or there's a vending machine that has a sad bear claw or sad yogurt. Nothing appealing. And you don't feel like driving to a drive-through to get your lunch. By the time you get back, you've wasted an hour. The correct answer for many people, maybe most people, is to just stay at home. There's a major media company who I will not mention on purpose, but I would mention if I was only on their stations, who has done something brave and smart. They have come up with a system where their workers in most situations can stay home. It's all right. You're right. We realize it's not necessary to come in. These are thought leadership jobs. Media companies, PR firms, advertising agencies, these are thought leadership jobs. You don't need to come into work. And this is what part of their release says. As part of the office as productivity tool, construct. The company has been redesigning its workplace to make them more conducive to interaction and collaboration while shrinking its overall real estate footprint. Many of you are going to return to the office that has been redesigned and rebuilt over the past year to focus on collaboration, etc. The CEO and COO says that there'll still be needs to address issues like tracking and measuring productivity, but that shouldn't deter its goal of being at the forefront of innovation in the work environment. The biggest cost to a company in any major city is real estate. Some of these places get $40, $50, $60 a square foot rent. Anything they can do to lower how much rent they have to pay will be significant. That will be a significant savings. And there are two ways to do it. If they've got 10,000 square feet of space, 20,000 square feet of space, they can start to sublet it. All of a sudden now that rent, instead of an outgoing, is an incoming. They'll be able to pull in rent. And as those leases run out, they'll be able to get rid of them. Smart. It's really smart. More importantly, people will be able to stay home. And what millions of employers have found, including this media company has found, is that by staying home, people are more productive and happier and have fewer sick days and don't need excuses to stay home to get the kid to school, to get the kid to the doctor, to help their spouse. They're just home. A lot of us, including me, I work better at home. I do my best work at home. I can't do creative work in an office environment. Too many distractions. And I welcome any distraction. The slightest distraction is something I crave. To be able to stay home, get my snacks on my own time, go to the bathroom when I want, I will do better work. I do this show from my laundry room. And I've done this show from the laundry room for 8 years, and unless my wife is pounding the furniture upstairs, as she has for the past 90 minutes, it really is the most productive way for me to do the show. The dryer is broken, however. That's something I'm going to have to deal with, but oh my God. However, I congratulate the major media company that has said, you know, they really don't need to come back to work. They're going to have some technical problems with the Labor Department, like all of a sudden it will adjust the number of people who work in a given state, things like that. I wonder what it does for their liability insurance and stuff like that. But anyway, there are thousands of computers and HR people to work that out. But I congratulate the company that came up with this. I congratulate the media company that came up with this. This is smart. And I hope, as it goes out in the business publications and other industries see what a major media company has done to allow their employees to stay at home, I hope they copy it. I hope they realize, oh, gee, we're an advertising agency, a public relations firm. We really don't need all these people to come to work. And then you see the opposite. You see, what was it, Capital One, the evil CEO saying, listen, if you don't come into work, we're going to cut your pay. If you don't come into your offices in New York, we hired you on the basis that you were going to come into work. And if you don't, we're going to cut your pay. Well, no, you didn't hire them on the basis that they were going to come into an office. You didn't get those offices because you assumed that they were going to come into the office. It wasn't part of the deal. It wasn't anything in the hiring of those employees where it said they must come into an office. You just assumed that they knew that. You just assumed that they'd have to do that. But, haha, joke's on you. I can see that CEO of Capital One standing at the door with a cane, you know, smacking him on the back. I said, you get in here. You're not going to get any hot and crusty free lunches here. This is a bank. We have no sense of humor. We're horrible. We charge $37 for each overdraft. We're horrible. That's our primary profit. Our primary profit is to charge $37 for each overdraft. Now get in here or I'll whack you on the back again. That's the impression that he gave when he said, you must come into the office. That CEO of Capital One, whose name I'm glad I don't remember, but this other company, this media company, which carries Sterling on Sunday on many fine radio stations, has said, well, wait a minute, why are we making people come back to work? If they don't all come back to work, as if we can let as many of them stay home as possible, why does salespeople need to come to work? They don't. In fact, over the years, I bet you've known companies that kind of discourage the salespeople from coming in at all because they can't make any sales in the office. Really, from 9 in the morning until 5 in the afternoon, we don't want to see you. Okay, good thinking. But there are more people. Anybody on the air really doesn't need to come in and can probably do a better show with the ambient sound and the kids running around and the references that their eyes and ears hear during the day. Probably a better show. That's my hunch. Who at a radio company, who really needs to come in? Maybe some technical people. People who are like chief engineers, run the transmitter, they really need to come into the radio station to run the transmitter, but that's not true. At most of the radio stations that air Sterling on Sunday, that chief engineer, Dave Scalish, that chief engineer runs that transmitter from his laptop. And the Comrex from his laptop, he can make every adjustment he needs to make from his laptop, which is just amazing and terrifying to think of. It used to be they had to, you know, climb up to the transmitter and open up the door and take out the old trusty screwdriver and get out a magnifying glass and adjust everything. And then they would be vaguely unpleasant. These chief engineers are as cool as could be. I'm trying to think who has to come into a radio station. And please pay attention. The smartest thing a radio station can do is if they have a prize winner, the dumbest thing to make them do is come to the station. Don't make a prize winner, a listener, come to the station. Deliver it. You know, Instacart, deliver their prize to their home. That's the smartest thing you can do, is deliver it to their home. Why should winning a prize become an inconvenience? Very few radio companies have figured that one out. All right, what have I got for you? I have Velo Hul. I have another Florida story, and I want to talk to you. My number is 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. Oh, my gosh, and we have a Grubhub driver listening on KXNT in Las Vegas who will give us an update. Drew will give us an update on Grubhub stories in Las Vegas. We love his stories. He has the best stories. And then Vic Ferrari with a real cop story, not one of those phony, scripted, crappy stories. Here's my phone number. Let's talk. 888-688-9258. Sterling at night.
Sterling on Sunday.
Sunday is treat day.
Sterling all-night weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. There's a tornado watch up for Illinois, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. That's in effect as we speak tonight. And that's going to go through Tuesday morning as the storm system develops and moves eastward, producing rainfall amounts of 2 to 3 inches in Chicago, New York, and Boston, and 1 to 2 inches in Syracuse, all the way through Cleveland. The big story is going to be the possibility of damaging winds and even tornadic activity. The damaging winds and possible tornadoes will form tonight in Missouri, affecting Kansas City, sliding east to Springfield and St. Louis, before affecting Charleston, Roanoke, and Raleigh into Norfolk, Washington, and Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, down into East Texas, through the Arklatex region by tomorrow into tomorrow night. The balance of the week, though, looks for much better weather as we head towards next weekend. Dallas, you're up to 87 on Wednesday. Washington, D.C., 70s midweek, 60s by Friday. And Fairbanks, Alaska, a chance of snow through midweek with lows in the teens and afternoon highs in the 20s. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling All Night. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling All Night.
All right, there he is in Jersey City, Charlie Green. Charlie Green, one of our original Midnight Misfits. And who else have we have here? Gary Burns. Gary Burns, the owner of Three Daughters Media, one of our original affiliates. Thank you, Gary Burns. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Jim Kelly, Jim Kardashian. I have the best listeners in the world. Jim Kardashian is one of the great Uber drivers of our time and shares his experiences in South Florida and Central Florida. And that's who I want, citizen journalists. Citizen journalists, 37 past the hour. It's you and me on the radio at 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. This is the best time of day to be on the radio. Why? Because all the grown-ups are in bed. All the grown-ups are asleep. The lady and the guy who hands out forms and says, you better get these in soon. You know, we're going to, corporate's going to need these soon. Okay, they're in bed. They go to bed at 8:45, tops. And that leaves you and me to not fill out forms. We don't fill out forms. That's us. No forms, thank you. Let's see, what should we do now? We should go to Drew at KXNT in Las Vegas, the Grubhub driver. Hello, Drew.
Walter and Sterling, my favorite Midnight Misfit of all time. And when you say about the office work, I don't miss it. I used to work in call centers and I deal with office politics, and a lot of that work could very well be done from home. I used to manage over 100 security guards and schedules and deal with Walmart and businesses and all that, and that was my previous life. And doing this has a lot of freedom. A lot of someone breathing down my neck. No forms, you know, none of this extra stuff. And then when you say about, you reminded me about a year ago, you told a story about how you had giveaways for turkeys. And I thought you were going to go into that story because it is pretty funny on how that was just a real fun thing dealing with some union people and delivering by that truck across the sidewalk.
That's a good reminder. 2 weeks I'll tell that story.
Yes.
But the call center thing. Ever since the pandemic hit, customer service people on the phone clearly are working from their homes and should continue to work from their homes, where they will be happier because, if nothing else, there will be better lighting.
Yeah, I've actually had to deal with some of our customer service for Grubhub, and I could tell that they were definitely at home and they had a farm going on. I could hear chickens and roosters in the background. And, you know, kitchen and cooking and banging around. It was, you know, so I guess it could be done anywhere, really. And I don't blame them, you know. I really don't. I don't miss the office work.
No. And I've believed this for a long time, that people who were complaining about their jobs were really complaining about going to the office. They did not like having to deal with the dynamics of complete strangers controlling their lives when it was completely unnecessary.
It's, to me, that's the biggest deal. One of the biggest factors is going to work, especially if it's in the morning during the rush hour. You're spending how much extra time that you're not getting paid, the extra chance of getting an accident, the wear and tear in the vehicle, all of that. It's not really, I don't like it.
For 50 years, there have been various public service campaigns to stagger the workday so that everybody isn't going to work at the same time. And that would be a great thing to do, except that it has never happened. No industry has said, okay, we'll let everybody come to work at 10. That's never happened. Now, do you have a Grubhub story for us?
Sure. I do remember something. I believe it was around Thanksgiving a couple of years ago, when you reminded me about that, to where I was dealing with this lady that she had the wrong address. She had her old address, and I couldn't find it. And she was impatient, of course, because it's taken longer. I called her up, and I'm like, what's the address? And and she was extremely upset with me. She just flew off the handle, started cussing at me, and we had some miscommunications. I'm trying to get the address, and I'm telling her, like, please be patient. I got to pull over. I got to put this in my Google Maps so I can get this to you. And she's just flying off. I don't know. And then I respond in the most kindest tone, and I thought that was going to be the end of it. You know, and then after all that, she's like, "Why are you still going to deliver it?" I'm like, "Well, I can." When I really thought she wasn't going to because of the altercation, and why would you trust a stranger with your food? I'm an honorable guy, but she doesn't know this. I'm like, okay, so I finally get there, and there's a wrong code, and she finally gets me the code for the gate to get in one of those places, which takes so much longer to get in. Finally get it to her, and she opens the door, and she's one of those fitness models that, you know, have the muscles and on the stage you see at ESPN or something like that. And with a smile, she hands me $10 tip and says, "I'm so sorry about that." And we were just raging at each other. Just handed the food, and I go, "No, I understand. It happens. You know, no big deal." And that was it. I was really surprised by that. So just a tip to everybody out there: when someone is bringing you food, they know where you live, and they're alone with your food. You do not know who is bringing you the food. Kind of like you don't upset anybody in the kitchen, right?
Right. Hey, Bill, that's a good story. That's a good job this week. Thank you for doing a good job this week. Thank you very much for calling Sterling at Night at 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. You and I should stay in touch at all times. My email is WalterMSterling@gmail.com. I have a podcast, Midnight Misfits, and we have a darn fine website created by Lee Harris and maintained by James Copeland, Walter Sterling Show. That's the website. Go look at it. I think you'll be surprised at how cool it is. Walter Sterling Show. This is Sterling at Night.
Electric vehicles like Teslas are just amazing marvels of modern technology, unless they fall through your attic and kill you while you're watching TV. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part two of Florida Stories.
This is Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. I have a warning about buying a certain type of guppies online. Later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
You have helped to build MyPillow into a remarkable company, the company that it is today. Now, Mike Lindell has an amazing offer for my listeners on his standard MyPillow. You will receive a standard MyPillow, regularly $69.99, now for you, $19.98. Usually $69.99, now only $19.98. For you, my Midnight Misfits. You will also receive deep discounts on all MyPillow products, such as the MyPillow towels, MyPillow sheets, the MyPillow topper, the MyPillow slippers, which are yummy, and so much more. Go to MyPillow.com and click the radio listener square right on the center of the homepage, and you'll receive Mike's standard MyPillow for $19.98, or call 800-844-0876. Either way, you use the promo code Walter. That's how you get these discounts. The MyPillow pillow is usually $69.99. You put in the promo code Walter, it drops to $19.98 for the MyPillow pillow. MyPillow is made in the USA. It comes with a 10-year warranty to you, so you know it's going to work and last. And a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. If you don't like it in 60 days, send it back. It's time to start getting the quality sleep we deserve. Why not start today? Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-844-0876. Some people don't like to do it online, so you can do it this way. 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. Do it right now and use the promo code Walter. My Pillow Pillow.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Mr. Wizard.
And because a lot of ammonia will dissolve in just a little bit of water, we can make a famous ammonia fountain.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. Welcome to part two of Florida Story. For our next Florida story, we're going to West Park, Florida, where a young lesbian couple is selling micro bullies. You know what a micro bully is? It's these bulldogs, but they're really small and have like the really squatty legs. They're so cute. But they run about $4,000 a piece. So this trio of teenagers, boys, acted like they were interested in buying a micro bully online. And then when they came to pick them up, they held the lesbians at gunpoint, grabbed three of the puppies, and ran. One of the lesbians ran to her master closet, grabbed what appears to be a Tech 9 or some other semi-automatic sort of semi-pistol rifle thing, and confronts the guys as they're walking back to the getaway car, and so they take a shot at her, and she starts firing back. And there's video of this. On her Ring doorbell, you see an irate lesbian dog breeder just squeezing off about 30 rounds at this car that's driving away. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we're going to Tampa. 30-something Florida man has a little bit of spare change in his pocket and thinks he's going to buy what some consider a status symbol. He gets the Tesla Model S plaid version. Once Florida man got his Tesla and drove it off the lot, he had to go show it off. So he's got three friends in the Tesla with him, and his friend in the passenger seat's like, come on, man, let me drive. Let me drive. Come on, man, let me drive. I've never driven this before. It'll be fine. You're not even going fast enough. You're being such a wuss. Watch. This thing go fast. Let me watch. Let me drive. And so he lets the guy drive. And sure enough, he floors it. I don't know if you've been in a Tesla, but on this road where the speed limit's 30 miles an hour, the friend got it up to 116 miles per hour. Since this is on Florida Stories, you know it's going to end badly. He catches the little air going through an intersection, blows through a stop sign, and I mean like he actually hits it, bounces up off of an embankment, which sends him airborne. They land on the roof of a house that's down the hill, crush through the living room where it hits a woman who's watching TV and then propels her and the car through the front of the house into the front lawn where it finally comes to the stop. The guy driving injured, the two people in the back seat injured, the actual owner of the Tesla who's in the passenger seat dead, the woman who was hit while she was watching TV and a car falls through her attic dead. Of all the ways you're going to die, it very well may be cancer or heart disease, you know, you like have a stroke or a heart attack. Or what are the odds it's going to be a Tesla falling on top of you out of your attic? In Florida, the odds are not zero. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Today's third installment of Florida Stories is on the way. Florida Stories is a Spring Rock production, springrockmedia@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at James Parker Show. For Sterling on Sundays, I am James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
11 minutes past the next hour, we will have our third edition of Florida Stories. Plus, we'll have Vic Ferrari with his real cop story, and Velo Hool will explain how to do guppy things. I had the nerve-wracking experience of having a parent-teacher conference this week, but it was virtual. A virtual parent-teacher conference. I thought that would be easier. It was much worse. First, I had to consider the backdrop. Then I had to consider the angles that hit me, whether or not it seemed as though I was lying. And I had to deal with three of their teachers at once, three of my nine-year-old's teachers at once. And the problem with the Zoom call parent-teacher conference is they seem to go out of their way to be complimentary. The teachers seem to be very complimentary of every single thing about my kid. Oh, it's wonderful to have her in the classroom, and she's doing so well, and her grades are very good. And finally, I said to them, I don't think she's doing that well. What are her grades? Well, you know, she has to be in a different grading cycle because it's a special ed kid. My kid's a special ed kid. She has apraxia. She can't speak the way other children do. She can't read the way other children do. She can't write the way they do. In fact, as best I can tell, she can't write at all. She can read a little. She speaks pretty darn well. She can't read and write. She can't write. Like what? Finally, I said to them, when is she going to write? When is she going to read? Because what she does is this trick that a lot of special ed kids do. She watches other children and adults, and she sees how they read, and then she mimics that. She does like a stage show, like kabuki theater of reading. That's what she does. And it's very entertaining, except it's not very useful. That's why she has decided, get this, that she is going to be a firefighter. She's going to be a firefighter when she grows up because they don't have to read and write from her perception. All they have to do is climb the ladder and put out a fire. So from her perspective, she can do that. Wait till she finds out. Wait till I hand her the firefighter manual, training manual, and say, oh, you got to read this, by the way. Read this. But she's nine, so it doesn't really matter. It's the interesting challenge of having a special needs kid, a challenge kid. I hate to say special needs because her needs are the same as anyone else's. She needs love, American Girl dolls. She needs food, nice clothes, and she needs to go to school. She has no special needs. She has challenges, and her challenge is she cannot speak that well, although it's pretty darn good, but she can't write at all. She can't read at all. Those are her challenges. The real challenge, though, is when she was born, we were not given a manual on how to deal with her, on how to help her and love her and support her. We weren't even given a one-sheeter. As close as we came is when she was a year, the pediatrician looked at us and said, how many words does she speak? And we looked at each other like, what do you mean, how many words does she speak? Two, mama, dada. And the pediatrician says, should be at least 50 by now. 50? We're like, it's never going to be. We're not going to be anywhere near 50 for many years. Now, we had two older daughters who were totally fine. You know, there were no challenges there. But we didn't remember where they were at one and one and a half. They don't come with instructions. And then I started to think about children with more complex challenges, more identity challenges, such as children who are transgender and children who want to go through the change in a transgender situation. Where is the manual for those parents? The ones who are good parents, educated parents, smart parents, loving parents, who want to support those kids. Where is the manual for them and what they're supposed to say so they don't say endless stupid things to those kids? We'll talk more about that coming up in just seconds, because coming up, Midnight Misfits. You don't belong. You don't fit in. And that's why you're successful. It's hard to understand that, but the people who go along with everything and follow the rules, they're not successful. In my opinion, they're already failures. But people like us who challenge everything, question everything, we're the most valuable people in any company. We are the ones that they have to keep because we know that they're phonies. They don't want to let people who know that they're phonies out into the world. You think we're phonies? We're going to keep you in here. But more importantly, we ask the challenging questions and make the boss, the owner, whoever, really think through what they're doing and why they're doing it. And that is the greatest and most valuable gift that you and I can give any company, is to question, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Because in that questioning, in that challenging, that's where the money comes. Anybody can say, yes, I filled out the form really well. Do you like the way I filled out the form? There's no success there. The success comes with, why are you doing this? This makes no sense. You and I can talk. My number is 888-688-WALT. This is Sterling at Night. All right, it's time for the Midnight Misfits to get out their decoder card and decode the secret message that we have prepared for you. But in order to understand the message, to learn the secret, you will need the decoder card. You get that on the website, Walter Sterling Show. Go to the tab that says Midnight Misfits and download the card instantly. Print it out instantly. No mail, no wasting time. Here are the secret letters. E. the number one. You. 8-9-9-4-4-1. I'll repeat it one more time. E, the number one, the letter U. The number 8-9-9-4-4-1. That's your Midnight Misfit secret message that you can only decode with the Midnight Misfit decoder card. I'm Walter Sterling. Now, I want to talk to you for a moment about Sitting on Stacy. This band is Sitting on Stacy. They are a alternative surf band. They're based in San Diego. They took a year or two off to finish high school and college, and then they made another album. One of the things that has always been said about the Beatles that separated them from Jerry and the Pacemakers and Dave Clark Five is that they had charisma. When you look at the Beatles' interviews, they had charisma. You had to watch them. You had to watch what they were saying. It's an intangible. You can't prove it. You can't distill it. All right, I'm looking at interviews with Sitting on Stacy. That's the name of the band, Sitting on Stacy. And I'm like, they are loaded with charisma and confidence. And they know what they're doing, and they're coordinated, and they're sharp. You usually don't see that in a surfer band or an alternative band. They're opening for Joe Jonas. Well, that's an achievement right there. This is a great band. This is the next big thing. I don't work for them. I don't get payola, plugola. I don't get anything from them. I can't even get a return call from their publicist. That's all I want, is a return call from Sitting on Stacy's publicist, because I want them on the show. I want them on the show. They'll be a great guest. They'll be a lot of fun. Sitting on Stacy. This is the next big thing, ladies and gentlemen. This is the next big thing. Hi, my friend. It's 11 past the hour, and this is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Al Bundy.
I feel better after I have a nice cup of coffee.
I sell a lot of guppies online, and I have friends who sell guppies online. But there's something you need to know if you're a guppy consumer. It's dragon guppies. Dragon guppies are beautiful. They are a wonderful fish to see, but there's a problem. Most times when you buy guppies online, and they're shipped to you, they're somewhere between 3 and 5 months of age. Most of the guppies I send out are at the 3 month level because people are paying a premium for them and you want them to have a maximum amount of guppy enjoyment. Dragon guppies, heads up. The male guppies do not mature sometimes till 6 or 7 months of age. So the guppies you may be receiving are older guppies. Here's how you work around it. If you're dealing with a responsible guppy retailer, they will send you an older male and a young developing male with several pre-hit females. A pre-hit female guppy means a guppy that's pregnant already. You will know if that younger male guppy doesn't quite reach what you want. Well, you can sell them off or give them to the pet store or something like that. But that male, that older male, he'll be able to present and spread his seed unto the new generations. And that will give you great-looking dragon guppies. from Maine to La Jolla to my living room. This is Sterling at Night Fishing Report. I'm Deadliest Catcher, Velo Hool.
No, really, I want Sitting on Stacy to be a guest on Sterling on Sunday. They're an alternative surfer band based in San Diego, opening for Joe Jonas. How does that happen? They're really good. But more importantly, there are lots of bands that are really good. They have charisma. They're interesting all on their own. Without the music, they're interesting all on their own. Why did the lead singer pick the new member of the band? Because he saw the new member of the band in a crowd wearing a dress. Okay, let's put him in the band. Sitting on Stacy. Now, go to YouTube or go to some online site and look up Sitting on Stacy. Look at a video. Let me know what you think. Just let me know. Send me an email. WalterMSterling@gmail.com or call me 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. Please note, I don't play bumper music, you know, from the 70s. Like, what do you mean bumper? Sometimes I'll be at a station where they don't know me. And the board op, the control room engineer will say, bumper music do you like to use? I'm like, I don't use bumper music. Why would I use bumper music? All that does is make a commercial break longer. That sounds like a bad idea. Doesn't that sound like a bad idea to you? One of the things that I don't understand, explain this to me. 888-688-9258. Explain this to me. Why is it that on cooking shows, when I see professional chefs on, The War of the Pots or, Angry Chefs, I never see a cooking show called Happy Chefs. They're always angry. And it's a question of varying degrees of anger. I see the angry chefs. They never use no-stick pans. Gordon Ramsay never uses a no-stick pan or pot. Why is that? You and I go to Walmart. We buy as many no-stick pans as we can afford, especially the white and red ones. We're under the illusion that a white no-stick pan is better than any other kind. It's nonsense. It's all the same. But that's how we think. We buy no-stick pans. Why wouldn't you buy a no-stick pan? And yet, Gordon Ramsay, he's buying, they always have those shiny stainless steel pans, and they seem to be able to cook in those. I can't cook in those. I haven't been able to cook in those since I was 8 and Teflon came out. I'm just guessing when Teflon came out. But the point is, when Teflon first came out, that was like, oh my gosh, thank you, until we put it in the dishwasher. 10 runs in the dishwasher, everything got bad. The other thing among kitchenware, useful kitchenware, is there's this thing they're marketing now that has a wooden spoon, and on the other side is a wooden fork made out of some secret special wood from the tropics, and a big pot that has holes all around it, and we're supposed to use it in a certain way, and in that pot, with that wooden spoon, you can cook anything. Well, until I get it, I could see on TV that they could cook casseroles and steaks and eggs and whatever you want, a cake, bundt cake, whatever you want in this one pot. All you'll need is one pot in your kitchen and this spoon, until I get it. Or if you order now, we'll send you a smaller version of it and you can cook anything in that. The pot, the top of the pot, and this spoon for $29.99. But I have a pot, and I have a spoon, and I have a lid. What is the difference exactly? Never clear to me. Maybe you can explain it to me at 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Did you see the many, what is it, the many saints of Newark? Did you see this, the many saints of Newark from The Sopranos guy? It was a really interesting study, series of scenes about The Sopranos characters, you know, The Soprano Junior, Junior Sopranos. But it wasn't a movie. There was no coherent story. Newark burned, and then these guys were angry, and then they shot somebody. One of them went to jail. One of them came back. That was it. It wasn't very good. I'm sorry, it wasn't. You're not. There are certain things you're not allowed to say wasn't very good. The Many Saints of Newark, you're not allowed to say wasn't very good. But it wasn't. Just like, you're not allowed to say that street fairs aren't great. Street fairs aren't great. They're hot or they're too cold. Oh, but the ultimate that I'm not allowed to say isn't great is, ready? The corn maze. Have you been through the corn maze yet? If you have a 4 to 10-year-old, you have been through the corn maze. The corn maze is hell. First of all, 6 to 10-year-olds get way too excited, so they run into the maze. That's the first trouble, and then they get stuck in the maze. You and I aren't going to go through that maze with any speed. Just not going to happen. Here's what's going to happen to you and me in the maze. Our shoes will be destroyed. Whether they're $10 shoes or $1,000 shoes, they will be destroyed by the mud. And there's something about the mud on farms that is pottery-like. It is permanent. It becomes it's as though it has been through a kiln the minute it hits your shoes. It is the worst possible mud. That's problem number one. Problem number two, your shoes will be destroyed. Well, you know, I'll just wear sneakers. Yeah, those will be destroyed too. Doesn't matter. Those will be ruined. Once you're out of the maze, if your child hasn't been lost forever, at the end of the maze, what's there? There is that little hut, that house, that contains the most expensive produce items in the world. You could go to the most elaborate, fanciest grocery store, the gourmet supermarket near your home that your rich neighbors go to, but you don't go to. But everything that you can't afford is in that hut on the farmer's property at the end of the corn maze. The little maple sugar candies that are mysteriously made in Canada, not on that farm, there they are for $29.99. And then there's interesting things for attracting birds at a birdhouse, seed for birds that are $29.99. And then there are pumpkins, which are weighed by the pound. They're $29.99 a pound. But here's the diabolical genius of every farmer in America. They get us to do the heavy work ourselves. There are two pieces of heavy work. One is we get on a flatbed truck, which they euphemistically call a farm tractor. We sit on the flatbed truck, which is cold and full of splinters, and we sit there with people we don't know, and they take us for this ride, a hay ride, except there's no hay on the flatbed truck. We go out to a very distant field on the farm, and what's there? There are a handful of pumpkins that haven't been picked yet. We're supposed to get off the flatbed truck and walk through the fields where it's now 28 degrees, whereas a week ago it was 62, but now it's 28 degrees, and now we're walking through the mud. In case you didn't get enough mud in the corn maze, now you're going to get real serious wet mud all over the shoes. You pick up the pumpkins, you put them aside, you pick on 5 or 6 that you want for your family. Finally, they get up on the flatbed truck after flattening your back. And now you're sitting there with your pumpkins. And it bounces back to the barn. How they stay on the flatbed truck, I don't know. But there are your pumpkins on the flatbed truck. And you go back to the barn. And they weigh $29.99 a pound, each pumpkin. And now you're looking at $60 worth of pumpkins, which you could have gotten at Kroger's for $12. Walmart for $8 or Costco, they would pay you for it. But no, you're going to pay $70 for those pumpkins. $70. And then, oh, it gets worse. They convince you the farmers have tricked us into doing their pumpkin harvest. But over there, row after row of apple orchards. And your kids say, we want the golden apples. We never get those in the supermarket. Let's pick. We want to pick our own apples. And they take you over to the rows and rows of apples, to the apple orchards. But what's always interesting to me about the apple orchards is there are these rows that I can go down. You and I can go down. We can really reach up to the rotten apples and pick those. But over there, couple rows away are pristine, perfect rows of apple, usually golden delicious. Beautiful apples, but oh, there's like police tape that prevents us from going down those. We're not allowed to go down those. We're stuck with the rotten apples, the little tiny Macintosh apples that we really don't want. Those are the ones we get to harvest, but we have to harvest them because the 8-year-old wants them. Daddy, we want those. We want those. Pick those, and then what happens? We take the bag back to the hut, to the farmer's hut. He weighs it. She weighs it. $29.99 a pound for the apples. That is our autumnal experience. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling All Night. My phone number is 888-688-9258. We are live across the country. Every single radio station that airs this show brilliantly airs it live. That means you and I can talk at 888-688-9258.
Sterling on Sunday.
Sunday is treat day.
Sterling All Night Weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. There's a tornado watch up for Illinois, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. That's in effect as we speak tonight. And that's going to go through Tuesday morning as the storm system develops and moves eastward, producing rainfall amounts of 2 to 3 inches in Chicago, New York, and Boston, and 1 to 2 inches in Syracuse, all the way through Cleveland. The big story is going to be the possibility of damaging winds and even tornadic activity. The damaging winds and possible tornadoes will form tonight in Missouri, affecting Kansas City, sliding east to Springfield and St. Louis, before affecting Charleston, Roanoke, and Raleigh into Norfolk, Washington, and Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, down into East Texas through the Arklatex region by tomorrow into tomorrow night. The balance of the week, though, looks for much better weather as we head towards next weekend. Dallas, you're up to 87 on Wednesday. Washington, D.C., 70s midweek, 60s by Friday. And Fairbanks, Alaska, a chance of snow through midweek with lows in the teens and afternoon highs in the 20s. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling All Night. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling All Night.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. For our next Florida story, we're going to the Indian River County Courthouse. A 26-year-old Florida man, he's on trial. He's accused of battering his 23-year-old girlfriend. Well, ex-girlfriend now. The court case doesn't go so well for him, but when they meet out in the hallway, there's a sign there that has letters on it that are about 1 foot tall. He rips the G off of the wall and throws it at her, and it hits her in the head. So he was immediately arrested, charged with battery again for smacking her with the letter G. He's being held without bond now in the county jail. And that's not especially egregious or horrifying. I just never seen anyone get arrested for smacking his ex-girlfriend with the letter G. Thought that was pretty fun. Hold my beer.
Wait, hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
And finally, on Florida Stories, we're going to Lake Worth Beach. A vape shop owner had just closed up the store, turned off all the lights, got everything all arranged, and he's in the back just counting the till, doing a little bit of paperwork. And some scumbag throws a giant rock through his front window and the window shatters and collapses. He comes through, steals a bunch of merchandise, and is starting to run away as the shop owner, a 39-year-old Florida man, is coming out of the back. Well, he has his gun on him because this is Florida. Tells him to stop. Of course, he doesn't stop. And as he's running away on the sidewalk, the shop owner shoots him, hits him in the back while he's running away. The juvenile suspect will be charged with burglary, property damage, all that. But despite how lenient Florida can be with stand-your-ground laws and whatnot, looks like the store owner is going to be charged with shooting the burglary suspect because he was posing no threat and running away. It just seems so silly that this was all over vape juice. Like, some guy committed a burglary and another guy shot him in the back while he was running away over something that didn't even exist when you were a kid. That's very Florida. Florida Stories is a Spring Rock production, springrockmedia@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter @JamesParkerShow. For Sterling on Sundays, I am James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
All right, it's Walter M. Sterling. The name of the show is Sterling at Night. Oh, my gosh, there's John. John, welcome to the Giant Network broadcast. Hi, John.
Yes, Walter, hello. I want to mention something to you. The nonstick pans. I'm told that if you're using them in your house, you're cooking on them, and you have birds, you know, in a cage, they'll die.
Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate the call at 888-688-9258. We have no science to back it up. You know, we go by science, not by politics. We don't know that if it's nonstick, it's going to kill your birds. That makes no sense. But we believe in science. Speaking of science, check your papers, check your online stories. Oh my gosh, this Dr. Fauci clown, apparently he's been using government funds to torture dogs in the name of science. These dogs have been beagles, have been kept in cages in a foreign country. And are bitten to death by these bugs. And they do all sorts of terrible experiments with them to keep them not barking. These are non-bark dogs. I'd read you the story, but it's too horrible. I don't want to read the story. It's terrible. But apparently this Dr. Fauci clown is funding experiments in another country that effectively tortures dogs. Just another thing on the list. Another thing on the list. No, what I was asking about was why is it on cooking shows I never see them using nonstick pans? Why don't they ever use nonstick pans? Instead, they use those stainless steel pans. Whereas, you know, the white nonstick, that they always look good. When I go to Walmart and I see the nonstick pans, I see the green ones, the gray ones, the white ones, and the copper ones look very impressive. But my personal experience with the copper ones has been that they last about 10 dishwashers, and then it's not good anymore. That's been my experience. 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. Coming up, I've got Vic Ferrari, who will tell us an actual cop story. Not one of these strange scripted podcasts from God knows where. Do you know that there are over 500,000 podcasts? I think it's more than that now. I think it's more like over 1 million podcasts. 90% of the episodes on Apple iTunes are listened to once. Most of the podcasts generate one episode. I've been to a podcast convention, and here's what I hear. Worries me. Most of the people who are making podcasts, most of them, are doing it for fun. They're doing it to find themselves. It's another way to find themselves, as opposed to a way to make money. One of the big issues in podcast land is difficulty monetizing it. I'm having trouble finding ways to make money with it. The three or four top podcast people make a lot of money. Seth Rogen, Adam Carolla, they make a lot of money, but also notice they were first in. A lot of advantage to being first in. And they have huge downloads. The rest of us have a lot of trouble monetizing it. I think everybody's getting better at it, but it's a tricky thing. And the reason is that it's a very attractive to advertisers because they're very particular, they're very targeted, but there's very little reach. It's very difficult to get a podcast to get out there. I'm Walter M. Sterling. I like being with you. We have a good time. This is fun. Now, coming up in just seconds, I've got Vic Ferrari with a real cop story, a real cop story. He's a retired New York City police detective. It's like a police bar to listen to Vic Ferrari. This is Sterling at Night.
It contains a circus act by the name of the Flying Fools.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowicz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter, let me tell you a great story from my new book. So I get asked a lot of questions about a lot of different NYPD units, specialized units, and the one that comes up quite a bit is the NYPD's Mounted Unit. Now, I never worked there, but I know a lot of people that have. Now, we've all seen cops riding around, sitting high atop horseback with their impressive blue shiny helmets and leather jackets. Now, for the most part, the Mounted Unit is used for crowd controls, parades, demonstrations, and the occasional riot. But when they're not doing that, they usually just walk around local neighborhoods, getting the horse a little exercise, writing a couple of parking tickets, and they're more for show until they're really needed. So about 15 years ago, I got my first dog, a beautiful Irish wolfhound, and I used to take him to Pelham Bay Park where he used to love to run, and I'd take him to an open field, take off the leash, and let him, you know, run himself down for about 20 minutes. So one day as he's running around, I see him dive into something, and he's rolling around, and I can't quite see what he's doing. So I go jogging up to him, and the next thing you know, I see he's rolling around in the biggest pile of horse crap that you have ever seen in your life. So I'm yelling at the dog, no, 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 come here. Dog thinks it's a game, and he takes off, and I'm chasing after my dog covered in dog crap. Finally, I get a leash on him. There's no way I can put him in my car to go home like that, so I got to get him washed off. And I knew exactly where to look and where it came from. The poop came from the NYPD's Mounted Unit, which is located in the back of Pelham Bay Park in the stables. So I walk my dog into the stables. There's no one around. I tie him up to a post, and I start hosing him down, and I find horse shampoo, which I didn't know there was such a thing, but there is. So suddenly I get challenged by an irate NYPD mounted cop who starts yelling at me, telling me I'm not supposed to be back there. And I tell him to calm down. I show him my police ID. He says, nope, you still can't be back there. I says, well, had you picked up after your horse, I wouldn't be back here in the first place. So that's a story from my new book, NYPD Law and Disorder.
Tomorrow, I have certain apprehensions. Tomorrow, I'm apprehensive about the fact that I'm having cataract surgery. They're going to do a cataract surgery on my left eye, and then a couple days later, they're going to do it on my right eye. Now, everybody says, it's a piece of cake. It's no big deal. It's easy as could be. I'm like, these aren't your eyes. The reason, and the only reason I'm bothering you with this, is not because I have fear, because I just live in fear, is that how I figured out, quote, how I figured out that I needed cataract surgery. About a year ago, I was on the air, and I realized I really couldn't read the copy in front of me. I was having a hell of a time reading the commercials or the messages or whatever it was. It was very difficult for me to read to you. And that's a problem when you're on the radio. Then I figured, well, what I need to do is get new reading glasses, because I had glasses for seeing distance at night, and they worked great. They still work great, but the readers, they were not working. And I went to Dollar Tree, which is the best place to get reading glasses, and I got a different pair. And in the store, I put them on, and I could read. And then when I got them home, I couldn't read. I went to Dollar Tree, and I got another pair of high-end reading glasses. And here's a question. Why is it that every pair of glasses at Dollar Tree is made for a woman? All the frames are for women. They're tiny. They're very tiny, and they're floral. I don't want tiny floral ones. The big ones, they're still not big. I buy different ones. I probably have 20, and none of them work. I keep looking through them. I'm like, they don't work. I can't read. And I went to the eye doctor about 6 months ago, and I said, I can't read. And this is a problem in my work. This is a big challenge in my work. And he did all the tests, and he said, well, you have cataracts. Maybe you need to get the cataracts taken care of. But they're really not that bad. And I said, well, is that a problem? Can we overcome them? Why don't you just give me a new prescription for glasses? And he shook his head, and he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't give me a new prescription for glasses. I'm like, why won't you? He says, because you need the cataract surgery. You need to get it done. And if I give you a new prescription for glasses, you'll wait 18 months to 2 years, and that won't do you any good. And you need to get it done now, except you have a problem. Your insurance isn't going to cover this. I said, why won't my insurance cover it? It's not bad enough. He said, the only way I can make it work is we'll do a glare test. And the glare test will show that it's bad enough. So I went and had a glare test done. I've had many, many tests done. Well, the first ophthalmologist who could do surgery on me, I was very impressed with her. I liked her. I was impressed with her. But her assistant, I know this will sound stupid, but her assistant spoke too loud. Her assistant was just too loud. And forgive my prejudice, her assistant had a sleeve tattoo. And I was way too uncomfortable with a woman who every time she spoke, I said, could you please speak softer? Please speak softer. And then there was that sleeve tattoo staring at me. And ultimately, I'm like, if I'm going to have somebody cut into my eye, I'm not going to have somebody cutting into my eye who's standing next to somebody who's speaking very loud and has a sleeve tattoo. Am I wrong about this? Is just the wrong way to deal with it? Then I went to another one and another one. And finally, I found a doctor who I really like. And so he'll do it tomorrow. We'll see how this goes. But these here days, I had to get the COVID test. And it had to be within 72 hours. I go to the hospital. I go to the area where this COVID test is supposed to happen. And what? Oh, it's closed. On Friday, it was closed. It said, get the COVID test on Saturday. And you have to go to this location, go to the back, knock three times, ask for a mic, put your name through this window. Oh, my God. I get there on Saturday. I was expecting a line out the door. I was expecting all sorts of forms to have to fill out, but did I have to? No. It was empty. On a Saturday, the place to get the COVID test at the hospital was empty. I walk in. There are like 8 hospital employees and nobody else. I put down my ID. I go in and boom, done. It was 90 seconds from my car. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, I am a broadcaster. I know what 90 seconds is. It was 90 seconds from my car into that place and then out. Nobody bothered me. No grown-ups, no forms. It was great. Had the COVID test. I'll have it tomorrow. I'll have the surgery tomorrow at 1. And you know what I'm going to do at the end of that surgery? Because I can't eat from now until then. Not a damn thing. When it's done, I'm going to get a corned beef sandwich with mustard put on it. Why is it outside of New York City they don't want to put the mustard on the sandwich? They want to put it on the side in those nasty, nasty little packs that always make a big mess that I never can open right. I'll open it a little, and it'll come out a little, and it's just nasty. It seems to be a big deal outside of New York City to put the mustard on the sandwich itself. That's where it belongs, on the sandwich itself. All right, next time you and I will talk more about being a transgender parent. Because what puzzles me and amazes me is there's very little conversation about how challenging it is to be a transgender parent and how much respect I have for them. a lot of conversation about the kids who go through it, and always, you know, how much respect it is and how brave they are. But I don't think they're necessarily brave. I think they get to be who they were always meant to be. And that's a gift. It's not bravery. It's a gift. But their parents are like, what do we do? How do we do it right so we don't ruin the kid for life by saying the one wrong thing that a parent could say and ruin the kid for life? I told you what I told my kid who told me she was bi. I said, does that mean I'm going to have to pay for two weddings? I'll talk to you next week.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday. All right. Right. Stay bright.